put together a few areas. Really, the opening, for me, in other words, we'll open up the area, put it together, was something you may have heard, right, Chate said on Friday night a couple of weeks ago about the Colomos. That's where it starts. In other words, I'm going to make that, I'm going to be repeating it. I'm not going to start out, just start with the question. And I'm going to go through some of the stuff that he mentioned, but it helped me to open up or to at least understand some other areas that I've been working on, tie up a few loose ends. Mainly, the main subject over here is the way in which Yosef treated his brothers. In other words, what was the whole purpose behind that? What was the strategy behind that? What was the reasoning? All of a sudden, you know, it seems like a funny thing. You know, and they came down for food, and he recognized them, and they didn't recognize him, and all of a sudden he starts to, like, accuse them of being spies, right? And they deny it, and then he takes one, and it has to be the other brother, and then no, then when they leave, they put the money, he puts the money back, right? And they get worried about that, then they come back, finally with Binyamin. What? Okay. Binyamin, he puts the cup. What was the purpose of all this? What was the purpose of the whole thing with the spies? What was the reason of being spies? So what was the whole thing with putting the money in there? What does that have to do with it? Why did he do that? He accused them of being spies already. Well, what's going on here? So also, I want to go through that. I also want to explain another thing. The whole thing, the beginning of Vayigash, the whole Vayigash El Yehuda, the whole speech of Yehuda. Basically, the whole purpose was the request. He wanted to make a request. He had guaranteed Binyamin, right? He would guarantee to his father he would bring back Binyamin. So what he's requesting is that you take me in his place. If you want to put him in prison, instead of putting him in prison, so take me in his place. But the question is, what's the whole build-up over here? It doesn't seem to make any sense. He goes in there, he steps forward and he starts arguing with him. And all he does is basically repeat the whole sequence of events. What was the purpose of that? And then he says, at the end, let me please, if you understand, if you take a look, I'm sure, you know, if you study it, you'll see, it'll bother you, that Miketz ends, Miketz, Amisa of bringing, he brings Binyamin back, and they have this whole meal with Yosef, and it seems that the whole thing with the money is forgiven, forgotten, it's no problem. And then they leave with their food, and everything seems to be fine, and then all of a sudden they have this whole thing with the Gevia, with the cup, with Yosef's cup, and then they're back in trouble again. But it says at the end, I'm not interested really now in questions, you know, I'm just telling in general, I'm outlining in general the areas, so don't stop me now, what? In other words, that's very good. That's another question. All right, I'll just mention it in a second. All right? I don't think it... all right, we'll soon see what that is. But basically, so Yehuda basically stepped forward, right? At the very end of Miketz. Vayom Yehuda, manom aladayni, manadabra, manasadak, helokim motza, savayin avadecha. Hinenu avadam aladayni, gamanachnu, gamashinim sagavi biyarei. He said, in other words, Yehuda told him right off the bat, let us all be Avadim, not just Binyamin. In other words, he already began to appeal in that direction, not to separate Binyamin from the rest of them. But Yehuda said, Chalili, he says, oh no, I mean, I'm a man of justice, I'm not going to do that, why should I take the rest of you? He's the sinner, he has to be punished. Okay? So Yehuda already had been rebuffed. Now he comes back with a new thing by Yigash. And basically he's making the same request, except here he's mentioning specifically himself. So what's this whole thing about Vayigash? What does he do? He goes through the whole story again, right? Adoni Shal, Esav Adav Leim Ayeshlam Avoach, Vaneim Adoni Yeshlam Av Zakein, V'yalzkun Katan, V'yachav Meis, right? V'atayim Lahori Du Elai. He goes through the whole story over there. The sequence of events. And then he says, he makes the request. So what was the whole purpose of all of this? What was the whole purpose of that speech? And what was his cheshbon? I mean, Yehuda must have had some kind of a cheshbon. He must have been saying something new now that might have a chance of working with Yosef. And also, like he points out, why did Yosef decide at this particular point to end the whole charade? They have the whole thing of the charade. So why did he decide at this particular point? It says that, when he heard all this, Yosef, he cried. Right? And he told everybody to get out of there. And then he told them the truth. He made himself known to them. But why? In other words, it would appear from the story that it was like an emotional thing? That he couldn't go on with this anymore? That would be hard. I mean, you see, first of all, he had cried before. This wasn't the first time, right? He had cried before when he heard them, when they first said that they were being punished for what we did to our brother, right? The very first time, Mr. Joseph heard, and he turned away and he cried. Right? But nevertheless, he cried, and then he got over it, and then he went back to his plan. It didn't stop him. Then, was it with Binyamin that he cried again? How many times did he cry? How many times did he mention that he cried? Twice before this? He turned away from them and he cried. Vayashiv aleihem vayedaber aleihem. Of course, there's a reason. And then he says, Vayikach min v'shimayim vayeser aslein einayim. That's when he cried. Then he came back and he she separated Shimon from them. So you see that the question of why did Tarzan tell us that he cried? I mean, what's the relevance or point to that? Let's soon see. But the point is that the emotions didn't get to him, that's for sure.
Why?
First of all, you see the good demonstration of how the tzaddik operates. I mean, you see the emotions are there. He has the same emotions, right? But you can't help the emotions. But the point is, he turns away, puts the emotions on one side, and then he acts in accordance with rationality. Now, fine. So you see that the fact, in other words, that the emotions were there weren't just now, right? It didn't affect his plan. So now, but now it says after hearing Yehuda, it says he cried, and then he told them. It's hard to say that it would be difficult to say that all of a sudden he just gave up his plan because of the emotion, because of the crying. That would be hard to say. I mean, you know, yes, fatadik over here. I don't know. Does it also mention? Just curious. Does it mention about the when Binyamin came? Vayemar Yosef ki nichmu rachamav elochiv vayevakeish libkais vayyavo achadra vayev chshama. It says it by Binyamin too. That's in Mem Gimel Lamed that when he spoke to Binyamin, he said that he couldn't take it. He had a cry and he left the room and he cried. So that was the second time he cried, but it didn't stop him. He came back. He washed his face. Right? He overcame by his apak. Right? He overcame the emotion. And he went ahead. He went ahead by his apak. Right? So the question is a good question. In other words, why did he decide just at this particular point to tell him what's going on? Alright? Alright. That's the basic area. Again, anything else?
Yeah, are you going to take over?
The very beginning when he here it is in Mem Beis. Yosef saw them, he recognized them, right? Then it says in Pasuk Tes, well, Pasuk Ches Vayaka Yosef Zechav, Yosef recognized them, Vehem Lo Hikiru, they didn't recognize him. Vayisker Yosef es hachalomos asher chalom lahem, and Yosef remembered the chalomos that he had dreamed pertaining to them. Vayomer aleihem meraglam atem, and he said to them, "You are meraglam. Liros es ervas aretz bosem. You've come to see the nakedness of the land." So, of course, what's the obvious question in Pasuk Tes? Question: what is the cause and effect over here? It says that he remembered the Chalomos, and he said, and then he accused them of being Meraglim. Right?
Right.
So the question is, what does one thing have to do with the other? Obviously, there's a certain causal relationship over here, but what does remembering the dreams have to do with the accusation that they're spies? That's the problem. Okay? Alright. I'm going to give the answer, the ultimate answer, what the Chalomos has to do with the accusation, I'll say at the very end. But first I'm going to give you the basis for it now, within the just to see clearly what the Chalomos are. First thing to know is now we're going to see clearly what the... You weren't here that time, were you, on Friday night? Chalomos. What were the two Chalomos? The first one was the bundles, right? Right? Right. All the bundles were in the field, and his stood up, and all the other bundles bowed down to him. And the second one was what?
Sun,
the moon, the stars were bowing down to him. Alright, so the question is, what's the difference between the, they both seem to indicate the same thing. But is there any difference between the two? But you see that there is, where do you see an indication? In the beginning of Ayeshev, of a basic difference between the two, where do you see an indication? This is an old problem we took up, we were never able to, I remember we raised this question, we never were able to answer. To the first, to the first dream. What does it say?
Yeah,
what was their reaction? The reaction that says, right? They increased their hatred. So the first, the reaction to the first dream was hatred. They hated him. But what does it say with regard to the second? Oh yeah, I know. What was their reaction? You know, Vayikanava, kinna, they were jealous. So the question is, why was the reaction to the first dream was hatred? They hated him. And the second dream, they were jealous of him. Kinna. What? No. I say that whatever it is, it should have been
same reaction.
Same thing. Why wasn't there kinah? Why wasn't there kinah in the first dream? And the answer, of course, is based upon the difference between the interpretation of the meaning of the two dreams. Go ahead, Don. He says that the celestial beings over here, right? The stars, it's a representation for the higher side of man, the intellectual, the spiritual. And they will be bowing down to him, right? That means he will be the manig ruchni. He'll be the spiritual leader over them. See? That's the difference between the two dreams. Now, of course, they both indicate that he'll be a ruler, but in two different ways. One is simply that he'll have the economic power over them, correct? The second one indicates that he will be the spiritual leader over them, the manig. Correct? That's what the Beis Levi says. Now, on the basis of this, we can now figure out why in the first dream they hated, but they weren't jealous. In the second one, there was jealousy. Tell me, no? Showed that he'd have economic power, right? Now they were basically, of course, you have to remember the whole perspective. They were tzaddikim. They didn't value the physical, so therefore they weren't jealous, right?
So why they hate him?
Oh, they hated him because it showed that he wants the ruler.
They like the idea.
No, they didn't believe it's true. They thought that they didn't accept the fact that this is Nebuah. They thought it's his. You see, they hate him because he wants to be a ruler. He wants to rule over them.
He should dictate to them monetarily.
Yeah, well, that'll be the means. But it shows he didn't have the power over them.
Yeah.
They didn't want him to have power. I mean, they didn't want him to be the ruler over them. But they weren't jealous that he would have the wealth. That they weren't jealous of, because you're only jealous of something you yourself want. Yeah. Percent that they didn't take it for nothing. If they took it for nothing, they wouldn't go into the whole thing of killing him. Apparently, they were affected by it. You see, it wasn't 100% that they said it was ridiculous. It bothered them. They were afraid that it might be true. You see, but the point is that the first dream was such that it would not produce any jealousy, but the second one was jealousy because that's something that they really valued.
Did they believe the second one?
Now, just bear this in mind, these two dreams. We explained the two dreams now. That's the main point. The first dream is that he will have economic power, and the second one is that he will be the manhig ruchni. Okay? Alright. Now let's get back to the accusation. What was the whole... The thing is like this. In general, I'm not going to go into every specific now. Well, what was the basic plan over here with the steps that he took? Of course, we want to know what the purpose was, and also we want to know what the strategy was. He had a certain strategy he was using. Let's see if we can figure out what the strategy was. And also, ultimately, we want to know what was the whole reason for it. Why did he do this? Yeah?
Where does it start off?
I just want Membez. In Membez.
Yeah.
So basically, the first question is, Ramban asked the question, it would appear from this, when they came down, right, it would appear that Yosef was the guy that was selling the wheat. Now, of course, this strikes as being very strange, because he was the ruler of the land. I mean, next to Pharaoh, he had complete power control. I mean, this is his job. He would sit there by the cash register and sell the food. It sounds ridiculous, right? What was the, basically, you have to put into perspective what the situation was. So the situation needs to be like this, that he was in charge he was in charge of all the dealings that had to do with the food. In other words, Mitzrayim was in a very unique situation now, because the rest of the world was starving, right? And they had all the food. So therefore, peoples, you know, all the peoples from different parts were coming to Mitzrayim for food. Now, this was something that you have to be very careful about, because there was always the possibility, right, that people would try and infiltrate. Enemies would try and infiltrate right now, right? Either to plan an attack, take over. So you have to be very, very careful to guard your position. So therefore, apparently when somebody would come, the Ramban says, when people would come from a different land, they couldn't just go out and buy. You know, the Yosef had to oversee to make sure that there's nothing amiss over here. And also Ramban says that he had to make decisions about how much they would be given, what types to be given. It wasn't just a plush thing. You know, you have to have a whole concept of supply, how much we need, how much they might need, and also to make certain that there's nothing amiss over here. So therefore it would appear like this. Whenever there were newcomers from a land, Yosef would have to be brought in for the interrogation. And that's why when the Ramban says they were the first to come from Canaan. So when they came from Canaan, there was a whole new group from Canaan, so Yosef was called in to check him out. Alright? That's why they had to meet with Yosef. He wasn't just selling food to everybody. Now what did Yosef do? Yosef created an accusation of that they were Meraglim, that they were spies. Now how did he do this? I mean, you can't just come out and Rambanesh, you can't just come out and say something that's totally crazy. When he accuses them, I mean, it has to be something that there's some basis to it, some mushes to it. So it seems that Chazal say that he accused them that, yeah, because there were 10 people, they came in from different gates. Then they came together, right? So Yosef, it seems, on the basis of the, he took certain facts, certain things that they had done in their behavior, and he made a fabrication. You know, as he said, that the way you're behaving, right, would appear to be that your circumstances would seem to indicate that you're spies. Of course, it's ridiculous that if you're together, so you come together, right? But for a group of people, to each guy comes from a separate place, right? Because each guy wants to check out. Then you all get together again, right, to go over the plans. That's suspicious. So he accused them. So they had to defend themselves, right? So what did they say? They said that they're really brothers, in other words. Not the fact they're spies. These Canaan and Achmed, first of all, we're upstanding men, right? We're all one family, etc. They tried to refute it. I'm not going to go into every detail over there, because there's a whole up and back, in other words, how they answer all the tinnitus. Okay? But then it all boiled down to one thing. What did it all boil down to? So Yosef, you know, they told him that we're really one family. There's 12 brothers. One is missing, and one is back. You see? Oh, so that gave him the whole. Then what did he do? Then he decided to take one of them. First he locks them all up, right? But then he says the only way out of this is if you'll bring down your other brother. What was the basis for that? In other words, why did he do that? What? What's he going to prove by that? You see, well, you have to understand whatever Yosef said to them had to have some semblance of reality.
Did he want to reveal to all of them that he was just
a... In other words, what was his purpose in this? Just basically, what? And tell him that to say that we're all one family, that you're my brother, and that's the end of that. How are you going to prove that he's not? All right, so basically, again, I just the shot's like this. In other words, Yosef interrogated them. Because later on, you know, Yaakov gave them an argument. Why did you have to tell that you had one other brother? You caused the whole problem yourself by saying there's another brother. So they said that the man asked us, Shal, Hayesh Lechem, Chalav. He asked us. You know, because we had said that we're all brothers. So then he started to interrogate, you're all brothers? Well, what about your families? Is your father alive? Are there any other brothers? See? And they said, they said to Yaakov that we didn't know what he was up to. We didn't know what he was getting at. So we figured the best bet is to tell the truth in a situation like that. Because if we're going to tell a lie, then we're making it worse for ourselves. And if we tell, you know, if we tell them the truth, so what can happen? So therefore, Yosef had elicited from them that there is another brother. All right? Now Yosef said that will be the test. How will it be a test? It's true that you can see. It's true that you can get somebody else off the street and pay him a certain amount to tell your story. Fine, but that's why he held Shimon. You see, he held Shimon because by holding Shimon, he could now interrogate Shimon and ask Shimon all kinds of details, all kinds of questions. Now the brothers would have no way of knowing what he had told to what Shimon had told him, what he had asked Shimon. Ah, so then when they bring back Binyamin, he'll have a basis for testing it out. You see, because they could only tell the guy certain information. But now that they had Shimon over there, they could get a long time. They can interrogate, get all kinds of information, all kinds of details, right? And they could never know what Yosef had asked Shimon. So that would be the test. Yeah. Of spies, right? Okay. But you see, what was his purpose? He had a few purposes. One was to accuse them of being the spies, right? Also, was to put the money back in their sacks, right? What was the purpose of putting the money back? Because he had already established the accusation that he accused them of being spies, and they have to bring back Binyamin out to prove it one way or the other. So what did he gain by putting the money? What was the purpose of the money? Secondly, what was the whole purpose of bringing Binyamin down there, right? What did he want Binyamin over there for, correct? And it's not just why did he want Binyamin. When he had Binyamin, why did he go through phase two? Phase two was, once he had Binyamin, to send him away and then put a frame on Binyamin that Binyamin has stolen the cup. What was the purpose of that? You see, that's exactly what I'm going to try and cover. Okay? All right. You good? Brothers to be machzir b'tshuva. See? Because up until this point, that was one of the themes of the whole, you know, the whole ongoing story between Yaakov and Yosef and the brothers. The purpose of Yosef over here was to cause the brothers to do tshuva for the chet that they had done to Yosef. Until this time, they had never done tshuva. How do you see that was the real purpose? How do you see it? How do you see it?
I didn't know they never did tshuva.
What?
I didn't know they never did
tshuva. Well, I assume that they have. You see, right off the bat over here, it said that that Reuven right away saw. What did he say? Now they all said, Avo Hashem Manachnu.
That was later.
Please. That wasn't later. In the he put them in jail. Then he gave them the plan. Then it says, this is in Membez. Chafala, Fayem Wish Alachim, Avo Hashem Manachnu Alachinu. Asherino Taras Nafshai, Bishanay Lane Vlashamanu. Al came boy Lane Watsarazais. Vayan Reuven Isam Lema, Haleya Marti Alechem Lema, Al Tachtu Vayel Vlashmatem. You see that they'd never done tshuva. Vagamdam Ahine Nidrash. So what do you see from this? You see that what was the purpose of the accusation of the Mahadim Raglam? Yosef's plan was to cause them to do tshuva by accusing them of being Meraglim. What's the how did he figure that would work? How did he figure that would cause them to do tshuva? You see, because he knew the quality of his brothers, right? He knew that they're not just going to, you know, when an event occurs to them, they're going to look for the cause. They're going to analyze it. Is that they found themselves, you see, when they suddenly, for no reason, all of a sudden, right, they come down an innocent mission to get the food, right? And all of a sudden, events turn against them, right? They found themselves now in the very same situation that they had put Yosef in, right? They had taken him and they'd made him into a captive, right? In the hands of strangers. Now the exact same thing is happening to them. They're captives now. Shimon is being put into prison. It's the exact same thing. So that caused them to stop and think, what could cause a thing like this? It didn't happen in a usual way. I mean, all of a sudden, they didn't do anything. They weren't spying. For a thing like this, for people to go totally innocent and all of a sudden to be caught up in something like this is a very strange thing. So therefore, they looked for the cause. And they saw that the cause was that there was their chet, that they were being punished now. Now, what was the... But you see, this wasn't the complete tshuva. This was the start. Once Yosef had established, right, that he believes that they are spies, what was the purpose in putting the money on them? In other words, now he would seem to be defeating his purpose. Because once Yosef planted the money on them, right, they would see that he doesn't really believe that they are spies. Why do that? What was the purpose? What was Yosef's purpose in planting the money on them? He already established the fact that they're spies. What was his purpose over here? What did he gain by putting the money on them? See, things like this. You have to understand like this. They weren't stupid, right? I mean, they had to start going. They knew that this wasn't an ordinary case. That Yosef was acting funny over here, right? Why would he? So they would start to analyze what Yosef's motives were. Right? So the thing is like this. Apparently Yosef got them to believe one thing. That they were facing a tremendous danger. The whole purpose of this was to increase the fear. Because you see, as soon as they saw it, right? First they saw it by the one on the way, and they were very, very afraid. They were trembling. Then it says when they came back, they saw that the money was returned to each and every one of them, right? And then it says they were extremely afraid, right? To increase the fear. So you see like this. Apparently, they thought like this. That, of course, they knew that Mitzrayim, at that particular time, had to watch out that nobody should try and infiltrate, that there shouldn't be any spies coming in. Now, what does a government do sometimes when they're in a situation like that, and they're on the lookout, and they want to discourage anybody from trying to do a thing like this, right? Now, what do? Yeah, exactly. In other words, sometimes the government feels they have no choice, except you've got to set an example. That means that they're willing, they're willing, they'll take a guy, right? And they'll destroy the guy. Just to show, to set an example. They feel they have to do it. Well, you know, but you see the same thing, like they say with the Russians now in Afghanistan. As they go from one village to another village, there's a little bit of resistance. They the same thing the Nazis did. They round up the, important guys, the leaders, and they're wiping them right out now, every village. Why? These guys, they don't look to this guy. That's to set the example. Of course, there's some basis. They have to frame up some basis or whatever. But once you have that basis, they wipe them out. The whole purpose of that is the intimidation. So therefore, the brothers were now very afraid. You follow? Because if the brothers, the whole purpose of Yosef was to create fear. Now, as long as the brothers knew that they hadn't done anything, they were basically innocent, right? So there's not that much to be afraid of. All right, there's a little misunderstanding here. But the point is, once they saw that Yosef had put back the money, then they trembled, then they saw that they're really caught. That's what you see they felt the way it says when they came back the second time and they were brought down to the house of Yosef, right? They said that's why he's bringing us over here. Al-Davar, what do they say over there? Kesef. You see? Lisgaila is to bring out times to fall upon, to pounce upon us. In other words, the whole purpose of this thing is to create the pretext. You see? To pounce upon us and to set us as an example in order to destroy us. That's when they were afraid, because they figured then they're completely lost. If that was the purpose of Yosef. So you see, phase one with regard to the brothers, in other words, the whole accusation, the whole taina of being spies was to be machzer them b'tshuva. Because in order to be machzer them b'tshuva, Yosef had to put them in a situation which they would see was mida keneged mida, right? And they would take it as a punishment, as an einesh, right? Because the crazy thing of all, why should it happen to them that they're the ones that are being set up as an example? And it happened, that's measure for measure, the same thing that they had done. Not only that, it says that he separated, which brother was separated? Shimon, right? Why Shimon, Chazal say? Why did he separate Shimon? Because Shimon had been the one that physically had put him into the bar, you see? So why Shimon? The rest of the brothers were involved too. But I think that it fitted, it makes more sense now, because it would be more of a Mida connected Mida. In other words, who did he pick? Not only, once your mind starts to think how similar it is to what you did, not only are they in the same situation, but the very same one who did the actual Maisa, he's now being put in prison. He's being singled out. So it even increases the whole idea of Mida connected Mida. Yeah? Nothing. The money back, they said, Mazos Asel Kim Lona, what has God done to us? And that was precisely Yosef's point. Yeah. Yosef's point was to instill that fear, so that they would say that, to cause them to be Machzer B'tshuva. All right, but that's phase one. What was the second part of the thing? The second part was to get them to bring Binyamin down, okay? So he intertwines the two objectives. So he gets Binyamin to come down. Now once Binyamin is down, so then everything is fine, you know, they leave happily. And then the next problem is that they planted the Gevir. And now they take Binyamin back and they're putting Binyamin in prison. What was Yosef's objective over there? What was his objective? You see, he's still involved. You have to understand that the Binyamin was really a stand-in, a substitute for Yosef in the minds of the brothers, through identification. You see in the mind of Yaakov, right? Because the whole thing was to cause Yaakov to break his attachment to Yosef, right? So when did he do that? When he sent away Binyamin. Why? Because Binyamin was a stand-in. You see that he spoke to, why did he cry? He spoke to Binyamin. He asked them about his children, what are their names? And they had all kinds of strange names. So he says, where did you get the name? It turns out every son he had named was after his brother. See? So you see that Binyamin was really a carbon copy of Yosef. So now, what was Yosef's objective over here? To see how the brothers would act now towards Binyamin. To see whether they had overcome the hatred of Yosef. You see? To see whether... How?
If they would protect him.
How far would they go now in overcoming their hatred of Yosef? Think of this. But I want to understand. What was it, two separate purposes? In other words, like this. Was the purpose of accusing them of Meraglim, that was one thing. And now the thing with Binyamin, just another thing. Are they two separate ideas, or are they one basic idea with two parts?
The thing about saving Benjamin from jail was the way to Shuvah through Yosef.
That's right.
That was the whole thing for Shuvah.
Yeah, but I mean, so what? How did the two things fit together? In other words, how did the two things of causing them, getting them to fear that they're being framed, right? The fear, and now a new thing with Benjamin. Are they two separate concepts, or is it one idea with two parts? What's the one idea? What? Yosef really had one purpose over here, right? I want to see if we can categorize the two parts. His actions were divided into two parts. The accusation, right, of Meraglim, and now the thing with Binyamin. Now, how did this fit, how did these two parts fit into the concept of tshuva? If you go, because you'll see from here, you'll see from this story the whole essence of tshuva, of what tshuva is. Really, tshuva consists of two parts. What are the two parts of tshuva? Charata al avar and Kabbalah al ha'asid. You see, that's the complete tshuva. If you go through the Rambam and tshuva, you see. But basically, it boils down to two things. What is charata al avar? That means a guy looks back, right? He has shame, regret. He has total charata that he did a thing. You see. But what's the next step? A person can have charata al avar, but that's not complete tshuva. Or why? Because in the asid he might do it again. Because it's true that you really feel sick about the thing you did, but you haven't freed yourself from all the underlying emotions that caused you to do it. Right? Kabbalah lasid means what? That if a guy would be in the same situation, right? Now he wouldn't do it anymore. So therefore, Yosef's objective over here was to bring about a complete tshuva. What's the complete tshuva? First of all, it has to start with Akar Sachet. And that leads to Charat Al-Avar. Where do you have Charat Al-Avar? That was the first series of steps with the accusation of Meraglim and the returning the money to create that fear. Aval Hashem Manachnu, right? We are guilty for what we did, right? And then Ma'asalon Al-Akim, right? They had the whole thing of Charat Al-Avar. But now it wasn't enough. Yosef had to go further. Kabbalah Lasid. What was the whole thing which had caused the Chait in the first place? Their animosity towards Yosef. The fact that they acted towards Yosef in an emotional way. Now, we have to go further. Have you gone to the extent that you freed yourself of that hatred? That's Kabbalah al-Asid. That was the entire setup with Binyamin, you see? In other words, he took away Binyamin, and he wanted to see how the brothers were going to act now towards Binyamin, because this gives them an opportunity to work out whatever vestiges of emotion he had towards Yosef. And that's the complete tshuva. That's Kabbalah al-Asid. So this explains to us you asked the question, Howie. Why did Yosef stop at this particular point and make himself known to them? The answer is not because of the emotion. The answer is because at this particular point the thing was completely achieved. Because Charata, he had achieved Charata al-Havar, right? And now, after the speech of Yehuda, when Yehuda said that I am willing to take the place of my brother, right? He gives up his own freedom to save his brother. That showed Kabbalah al-Asid. That shows that he had done complete tshuva. But now I may ask the question before, what was the whole Vayigashelov? You see? What was the whole Vayigashelov? Just correctly speaking, what was Yehuda's strategy over here? Yosef had already rebuffed. Yosef had said, what do you mean? I'm not going to take you people. The one who did the sin, he's going to be punished.
What? Was there any justification
that way? Again, brought out the animal. Maybe, all right, it could be. I'm giving you the overall view. Good. Over here. Shh, please. Don't get angry at me. Now what does he do? Adaini Shalsavada Blame Ayeshkama Loach. Right? He repeats the whole thing. You ask, do we have a brother He tells the whole story. And then he tells what a tragedy it would be if he acts this way, he'll be killing his father. And then he makes the plea. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi on Adoni Sholos Avada. That's your test. That's already in Vayigash. That's Mendal's your test. Rashi says like this. Is it time medrash? Adoni Sholos Avada. You asked your servants. Metchila ba'alila basalenu. Chazal say. From the very beginning you came against us with alila, with deceit, with accusation. Lama hayalach lishol kalela. Why do you have to ask us all these questions? Bitcha hainu hayinu mevakshim? Were we trying to marry your daughter? Ayachaseinu atam mevakashay? Were you interested in marrying our sister? And what was all these questions about? V'yaf al pikein, nevertheless, v'nomer adoni. L'kachad v'mechadava. In other words, what was the Yehuda saying in effect? That this whole thing is ridiculous. Right? Right from the beginning you came at us with an alila. He didn't say it openly because you have to know how to talk. But he was getting Chazal mean that he was getting the message across that this whole thing's a phony over here. This whole thing's a phony. But that it would seem that Yehuda wanted to be very diplomatic. He's talking tremendously respectfully, and the whole thing he's going to appeal to the guy's mercy. Right? He's going to appeal to his mercy because later on, that's the whole thing. Why would you want to kill our father? If Yehuda wants to appeal to his mercy, so why would he come out first and indicate that he's not in Russia? First he comes out with something that indicates that you're an unjust guy. As a matter of fact, Yosef had said before, Chalilali, I'm a man of justice. I'm not going to do that. Now Yehuda, who was his last ditch thing is an appeal for mercy. Right? Yehuda is coming out and indicating that you are an unjust guy. The whole thing is a frame. Oh, but now please have mercy. Well, if the whole thing is a frame, that means the guy's a wicked guy. He's willing to kill, to destroy innocent people. So he's willing to destroy innocent people. So what's he going to ask that you should not destroy my father? See, before Yosef says, Chalilali Ma'asai Zais. In other words, please, Shemashiah, stop. Yehuda knew. The brothers knew very well that this was a phony. I mean, they'd seen all along. And they knew what they were involved in. They were involved in a frame-up. You see? In other words, they held that Yosef is going to use them as an example to destroy them. Ah. But nevertheless, Yosef, of course, couldn't admit this. I mean, the rulers, you see, the Russians and the UN, of course, everything is legitimate. They were invited in and everything. They have to maintain that facade, that it's all being done legally. That's what Yosef said. Cholili ma'asai zeis. I mean, this is all, what are you talking about? I mean, this is not day frame. This is all being done legally, because you have to. As far as the public is concerned, you can't admit openly that you're a Russia. Ah, but this is precisely what Yehuda said. This is what Yehuda came along and said like this. Yehuda came along and said openly, now, that's the first time, that I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. In other words, I understand. You're not really a wicked person. That's what Yehuda came and said. You're not a wicked person. I understand exactly what you're doing. You're doing something. It's true that the innocent people are being destroyed, but it's being done for a cause. You have no choice because you have to protect the triumph. You see? But basically, I hold that you're a compassionate person. You have no choice. Those people that have to be crushed will be crushed. But people that don't have to be crushed, why should they be crushed? You're basically a good, compassionate person. And he did appeal to us. He was trying with flattery. Look, it's a big, strong thing to try and appeal to a person's sense of mercy. He says, if that's the case, that's why he repeats the whole story over here. Adoni Shaul. In other words, he's going over the case and he's bringing out in a very subtle way that I understand that there's no real charge over here. You can't say it openly. We know, in other words, what you're doing. We understand what you're doing. We agree. You have to do it. But if that's the case, so then, if it's to destroy, to set an example, so what difference does it make whether it's Binyamin or whether it's me? It just as well could be me. And the difference would be that if you take me, so then you're accomplishing your purpose and not destroying an innocent man. But if you take Binyamin, then it's going to be just cruelty for its own sake because you're destroying an innocent person. That's the way you got over there. You follow? That shows clearly that the brothers all along understood what Yosef was really getting at. I'm not finished yet. Good.
I understand.
By me. That's the pasuk. ki avadecha.
He didn't take the cup either.
Latager yesh misharachi. And if you ask me, why am I getting involved more than any of my other brothers? The answer is, heim kulam ebchutz, v'aninis kasharti b'kesher chazak, liyais menuda, b'beis elamais. In other words, he was explaining that why am I? Because I made a vow on the basis of justice to my father that I would be willing to give up both worlds in order to bring him back, if that's what it took. You see? So therefore, in other words, in terms of justice, I'm giving you another way of operating, that you'll accomplish your purpose, you'll set the example, but you won't be destroying an innocent person. And now if you ask me, who am I? What am I talking about? He says, it's my responsibility. Good. What does this have to do with the two chalaimais? In other words, we still haven't answered the question. It says, Vayizkir es chalaimais. He remembered the dreams, and then he accused them of being spies. It seems now, how would you answer the question? Anyone have an answer offhand? Yeah, why do you need the dreams in the first place? It seems now that everything that Yosef did, right, was completely completely rational. Right? It wasn't rational like this. I mentioned that the other day, this would be the main problem. On the surface, everything that Yosef did was with a reason and was worked out very shrewdly, very carefully, and it had a good end. Right? The end was that it brought them back to tshuva. But really, if you think about it, it really creates a tremendous problem. And that's the problem that you already mentioned. I mentioned the other day. The real problem over here is, what right did he have to do it? I don't know what right. He's bringing people, you're allowed to be machzor. You're supposed to be machzor people back to tshuva. Why not? Why can't you? Aren't you? I mean, if I see you going astray, aren't I supposed to bring you back to tshuva? The answer is that the only way that you can bring it back, there's two ways a person comes to tshuva. One is through somebody explaining and helping him, right? Persuasion. Another way is that he goes through certain experiences. As a result of those experiences, you serve him, then you go, oh. So for example, let's say a lot of times a person loses his wealth, and as a result, he gets a whole new philosophy of life, or he goes into prison and changes all of his values. I mean, he begins to see what really is important. So the question will be, let's say I see a person living a false life, right? A guy is pursuing, has a business, pursuing the typhus, and as long as he has all this, he'll have no way of ever improving. So let's say I destroy his business. Why can't I destroy his business? I'm doing it for his good. Why not? Why can't you do it? It's very simple. Because it's one thing for you to talk and explain, right? But you don't know what all the factors are going to be. You see what I'm saying? You can't go into all the factors, what's going to happen. It could be that you take away his business, he can commit suicide tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? Now, only Hashem can work this out. Only Hashem has the ability, the right. Only Hashem can work out all these different situations. You don't understand all these things. You could say in retrospect, if you see a guy went through an experience, right? You could say that, this is what happened. But how do you know? Nobody could play God. You can't set up a whole series of events like that. They could all completely backfire. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the next step is going to be. You don't know how much a dose of this, how much a dose of that. You see what I'm saying? That's completely impossible. Nobody has a right to do that. So the answer is, you have no right to subject another person to pain, to painful experiences, in order to bring him back to tshuva. That's what it says by, it says in Shmuel Aleph. At the beginning, first it says, V'chiyasta tarasa gam kas. Right? Bavur hadi'ima. Yishagar Hashem v'yad rachma. It says that Chana's tzara. That means her husband's other wife, right? She couldn't have a child. So it says that she would cause her tzar. She would, tzaras eishes bala. Kas. Paiso meres. Flush. She would say to her, "Klum kanisa yaim ma pares levincha, gadol lachalak levincha." She would tease her. She would always be teasing her about the fact she doesn't have a child. She'd say, "Well, did you get a blanket for your child today?" This that she would always be taunting her and teasing her. Shh. But Chazal say, "Why was not that she was a base character? Why'd she do it? Because she wanted Chana to be chayzer b'tshuva. You see, so she kept her in a state of pain emotionally." But Chazal say, nevertheless, that she was nenash. She was punished for this penina. Right? Even though her motive was correct, her motive was good, but she had absolutely no right to do it. So you see that a person has no right to inflict pain, to cause a person to go through difficult situations. Of course, I mean, where do you draw the line? I know you all guess, where do you draw the line? Because sometimes you have to talk tough to a person. Sometimes you have to get angry. That's another issue.
Yeah.
But basically, a line must be drawn. You see what I'm saying? You can't, like, the kind of things... I can't draw the line to you right now, but the kind of things that Yosef did were definitely out of line. To do that, to make accusations and put people in prison and put the money, to do all these things, clearly a person has absolutely no right to do. So what's the teretz? So the question now is, what right did Yosef have to do all these things? What's the answer?
Maybe you knew how it would...
We just got finished saying.
I just got finished saying
that you can't do it. How do you know? You'll take a guy who's wealthy and you say that's the problem and I'll take away his money. How do you know it's going to work? Nobody can know. It's impossible. Nobody can know by definition. I said the guy can commit suicide tomorrow. With it. The dreams don't tell him that he has to do this or that. Two dreams, right? One dream was that he'd have the economic power over them. The other dream was what? That he was a spiritual leader. But except he didn't understand one thing, which he understood right now. That there was a connection between the two. What was the connection between the two? That the economic power would be the means through which he would be the Mubarak group. That the economic power would be the means. The professional will say the two is connected, right? First, this, that. But the point is it wasn't just chat first, this, then that. But Yosef saw clearly that the interpretation of the dream was that the economic power would be the means through which he'd be the Monarch Ruchni. You see? So that gave him the right to use the economic power that he had right now to establish that the Monarch Ruchni is the one who has to bring him back to Tshuva. So Yosef saw that the permission to operate, to use his own intelligence, to cause them to come back to Tshuva was guaranteed as a result of the dreams. That's how it says, Vayiskar Asachalaymais. He remembered the dreams, and he saw the true interpretation that the economic power would be the means through which he'd be Marek Ruchni, and now he saw he's in that situation with the economic power, then he accused him of being a rabbi. That's true.